Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills finishing up another day of their voluntary offseason conditioning program. They'll be here the couple of days the rest of this week. Meantime, the Arizona Cardinals and five other teams open their voluntary mini camps today. The Bengals, the Browns, the Packers, the Jets, and the Tampa Bay Bucks. These camps run Tuesday through Thursday this week. Coaches now can get on the field with these teams. These are teams with new head coaches this year. That's why they're about a week ahead of the Bills in terms of the schedule for the offseason workouts. Pre-draft process remains in place with a couple of days until the NFL draft. News today on Rashawn Gary, the Michigan defensive lineman, has a shoulder that has been noted by teams. Sources informed of the situation today, a labral tear from college. Most believe he can play this season and then possibly have surgery afterwards. They would have to manage that injury as the season went along. The Los Angeles Chargers have decided to pick up the fifth-year option on Joey Bosa, according to NFL Network. The move keeps the pass rusher with the Chargers through the 2020 season, picking up a fifth year of Bosa's contract, number three overall pick in 2016. The first non-quarterback drafted that year 3 years ago, he has become one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. Stanley Cup playoffs, couple of Game 7s tonight. Toronto plays at Boston, Game 7 of that opening round series. 7 o'clock faceoff in Boston. Out west, at 10 o'clock tonight, San Jose home against Vegas. Game 7 of that series tied at 3 wins apiece. And the Bisons continue their series at Syracuse tonight. Last night, a pair of two-out walks was their undoing in a 7-3 loss to the Syracuse Mets. First game of a four-game series in Syracuse. Tonight, they go first pitch at 6:35, the Bisons and the Syracuse Mets. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. I'm not going to go into again how much that bothers me. Syracuse Mets? Instead of Syracuse Chiefs? I won't do it.
Let it go.
I will let it go. Welcome
just
back to
today.
The show. Yeah. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming here from One Bills Drive. A lot of draft talk, as you might expect, as we get set for the draft a couple of days away. And we have with us right now on the line, our guest who's going to talk more about the draft. He is the Sports Illustrated Senior Editor, MMQB Features Editor, podcast contributor for MMQB, Gary Gramling on the line with us. Gary, John Murphy, Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. You just reminded me a minute ago, we met a couple of years ago. You were up here with Peter King and a group of folks from MMQB, right?
We did. We were talking about the controversy of watching the meaningless women's soccer group game over the NBA finals that yeah. night, which was not the popular opinion.
Listen, I'm a good friend of Peter King.
Don't defend him.
I'm not, but listen, I was going to qualify by saying I really like the guy, but let's face it, his tastes in sports, in digesting the sports diet in America, sometimes varies from the norm.
I remember I was
not
looking
that at, I like women's soccer, but
I was looking at Gary and his group, thinking somebody's going to mouth words to me like "help me, help me."
So so Peter King, the renowned writer, turns the channel from the NBA Finals Cavaliers Warriors to a Group 3 women's soccer game, women's national
yes.
team soccer game. It wasn't even an elimination game. It was just, and they were already through. It was like a meaningless
game.
So, yeah, okay. So,
I was stunned.
Yes. If that's an elimination game, sure. Let's have the conversation. The meaningless game, though, versus the LeBron versus Warriors for the first time, it was not working out.
Yeah.
Gary,
right.
By the way, there was no conversation. Peter just up and did it himself.
He did.
So
that's very
you
true.
You could say, let's have the
that's
conversation. It appeared to me there was not going to be any conversation.
The conversation was in Peter's head.
We're not going to talk about women's soccer, though, with Gary. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. He'd done a great job. We had your guy, Andy Benoit, on with us last week. You and Andy kind of teamed up and ranked the needs for each team, right? That's ambitious, Gary, but you guys found needs for every team in the NFL.
It is ambitious. I mean, look, even I think when we looked at it, we said the Falcons are the one roster that you look at it and say you don't have any drastic needs anywhere. But most teams, look, you pick apart a roster. Patriots, even if Gronkowski came back, they have trouble at outside receiver. They have no edge rushers. They never had edge rushers there, and they still make it work. So it's a fun process, and it really does prep you pretty well for draft time, because as much as people say best player available, that's not how it works.
Yeah, you've got the Bills. You know, obviously they need a big wide receiver. You've got everybody else listed as well. And I'm wondering, every draft is different, and the quality of players in the draft is different. The position strengths of the draft is different. But one thing that it's always interesting to me is, do you anticipate a lot of movement at the top of this draft on draft day, teams trading in, trading out? Or do you think, because of the way this draft is laid out with the quality of players deep, that they don't move?
Yeah, you know, I think it's good to be in the top 10 here. I think there is a pretty steep fall off once you get to around, it'll probably be around pick 12, pick 15. And that happens most years, but I think it's more pronounced this year. I think the guys you're going to see taken in the 20s in the first round, there's just not a whole lot of separation between the guys you're going to see even late in day two, you know, the mid to late third round type guys. So, you know, it's going to be tricky. The quarterbacks, no one's in love with the quarterbacks here. So that's usually who you'd see teams coming up to get. Is it going to be a buyer's market on getting some of these picks where you look at the trade value chart and you say, well, this draft class, we're not going to give you quite what we would have given you in past years.
As we talk about the draft needs for the Buffalo Bills, as Steve said, Gary, you and Andy Benoit kind of identified receiver, big receiver. What do you have in mind there? What do you see on the Bills roster now, and what should they be looking for in this draft?
I like what they did this offseason. I'm a big John Brown fan. I don't know if he's necessarily a long-term solution there. I think that's why he got this sort of structured contract he got. That might be a one-year deal for John Brown. He might be gone by 2020, especially if Robert Foster takes another step forward here. Cole Beasley, a very nice piece out of the slot. But when you look at it, and I think they tipped their hand a little bit with the Antonio Brown flirtation. When you look at it, they're looking for that number one tip the coverage type of receiver. They don't have that on the roster right now. And look, you have a young quarterback. That's what you're looking for right now. And Brandon Bean, he built around Cam Newton down there in Carolina. He was part of that regime, obviously. And you're going to build around Josh Allen similarly to how you would have built around Cam Newton. And that means big targets, big catch radius guys. Josh Allen is, even if he becomes more accurate, he's not going to be a precision accuracy guy at any point in his career. I think we can all accept that. But so you get him some big body guys. That was the idea with Kelvin Benjamin. And Kelvin Benjamin just, I don't know if it's a knee injury from a couple years ago. He just doesn't play big anymore. He is big. He just doesn't play big.
You know, that was a point you two made, you and Andy Benoit, that I didn't think about it in assessing the Bills' draft approach. They went fairly hard after Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. Indicating how interested they are in filling that need. They didn't get him, obviously. They got a couple of other wide receivers in the free agent market, but that need still exists. And there's a guy you guys kind of – I think you put DK Metcalf together with the Bills in your mock draft, right?
I did. I had them trading down. Again, I think they're in a great spot to trade down right in front of Denver. Denver, that's a candidate for a quarterback. It's a candidate for a linebacker. I know linebackers are a little bit devalued these days, but there's basically two in this draft. If you need 2019 help at linebacker, it's Devin White or it's Devin Bush, or you're just not getting one. I love the fit with DK Metcalf in Buffalo because of the reasons I said on the field, but we did a big piece on him. Jonathan Jones was down there in Mississippi doing a piece on him for us in the last issue of Sports Illustrated. And it was supposed to be regional cover, and then Tiger Woods blew that up. But that's okay. But DK Metcalf, just culturally, I think he slides into that Bills locker room so easily. He's humble. I know everyone saw the shirtless picture, and they might have thoughts about him. He's a very humble kid. He's from a very devout family. I think, as most of us know, faith is very important to Sean McDermott. I think he slides in there so easily. And look, he's a college town kid. And with all the stupid, unfair stereotypes about Western New York and the Buffalo area, the guys who end up going there and loving it always say, you know, oh, it felt just like a college town. I think DK fits so cleanly on the field, in the locker room, in the community. I'd love to see him land there.
Yeah, one of the things about this draft is you said that nobody really loves the quarterbacks in this draft, or at least there's not enough quarterbacks to go around for teams to be moving up and reshaping the top of the draft to get one. However, in your latest mock draft, you say that, and I don't know, it's tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but the Giants may move up to get Kyler Murray. Because all that, but how likely is it that the quarterbacks, even despite the fact that there's no Eli Manning, there's no Peyton Manning in this in this draft. There's no Cam Newton in this draft. You know, how likely is it that just because they are quarterback that they move the needle and somebody does jump up to take a stretch for them?
It's tough for two reasons. I think everyone likes the quarterbacks. I think there are quarterbacks that, you know, a lot of teams seem to like Daniel Jones or like the upside of a Drew Lock or like the football IQ of a Dwayne Haskins. Teams also, look, they keep an eye on the next year's draft, and the 2020 group is anything can happen next season, but it's going to be better between Tua, Nick Eason, Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert out in Oregon. It's going to be a better group next year. So I think some of these teams, like a Miami, who is probably looking at it saying, okay, if we draft Dwayne Haskins, what's the difference? We're going to go 5-11 this year instead of 4-12. They might just sit this one out and say, we'll look at our guy next year and you know, ride it out with Fitzpatrick in 2019, and it's really not going to make a difference. So it's tough to picture really anyone at this point aggressively coming up for a top pick. I'd love to see the Giants do it. That's why I put it in the mock draft, just because everyone gets so carried away with, you know, this guy's, this coach's style, this GM style. This time last year, and I might be a little bit off of the timing, but week of the draft, at least Monday, and I think it might have been until Tuesday night, everyone, and I mean every reporter, was saying the Browns were going to take either Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, and no one was reporting Baker Mayfield until I think it was Tuesday night before the draft.
Yeah, we're with Gary Gramling. He is senior editor of Sports Illustrated. He's got a mock draft for the people up on SI.com. Mm-hmm. It's a great name. What? Let me get there for a second. Why is this mock draft for the people, Gary? What do you think?
It recognizes the fact that everyone is desperately scrambling to get out of round one and collect picks. If not for day two, collect 2020 picks at this point. So that, and I just like giving stupid headlines to things that I write. So that's just the way it goes.
You did mention a minute ago that you had the Bills trading down out of number 9 and trading up to number 9 to get a quarterback is Washington. You've got them taking quarterback Daniel Jones from Duke at 9 overall. I've never seen him up that high. What do you see there, and what do you see the Redskins' interest there?
If there's one thing we've learned over the past couple of weeks, is NFL teams think a lot more highly of Daniel Jones than media and some of the media analysts do. Part of it's David Cutcliffe, and obviously there's a Manning connection, excuse me, when it comes to Cutcliffe and Daniel Jones, but teams love him. I think he might be the second quarterback off the board when it's really? All said and done here.
Wow. Really ahead of Dwayne Haskins, ahead of Drew Lock. All of those guys?
Haskins is interesting. I don't know. You guys probably saw the Ian Rappaport report yesterday that the Raiders are maybe have a surprise in store at number 4. I think they really like Dwayne Haskins, and I think they're not thrilled with Derek Carr. I wouldn't be shocked if Dwayne Haskins went 4th overall in this draft, but I guess I'm really – I'm a coward here. I'm covering all my bases.
Right. Well, it's that time of year. With us talking about this and the mock drafts and the access to all the information that social media and highlight reels give us, is that the only reason that the draft is such a phenomenon?
I think it's that. I think it's just the promise of, you know, look, we could not only get a star player in the first round, maybe we'll get one in round 2, maybe round 3, maybe we'll get the greatest quarterback of all time in round 6. I think it's just fun. Football to me was just, it's always so fun because there are so many pieces and you're trying to figure out how to assemble it so that these 11 guys can basically be one organism and function together. And there's so many different ways to go about it. I know people think that the NFL game is a little more stagnant and sort of vanilla than maybe the college game. There's some truth to that, but there's so many different ways to approach it. And I think it's just always fascinating the way teams build these rosters and the way they build some of these schemes.
I think, Gary, also it's fascinating the drama, sometimes manufactured drama, but a lot of drama has been centered on Arizona, the Cardinals. And what would they do with Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen? How do you see that sorting itself out? And do you think the Cardinals have a plan?
My guess is, and I'd put this at 80-20 at this point, because I guess you wouldn't be surprised by anything at this point, but I think it is going to be Kyler, and I think it's tough to peg what the market is on Josh Rosen, because no one's really letting on, but I think ultimately they get something like maybe it's a second round pick plus something for Josh Rosen. So maybe a second and like a 2020 third or fourth round pick, something like that. I don't know if anyone's given up a one, but I think there are enough teams who are checking in with Josh Rosen. And, you have five teams with mild interest, maybe one or two. It turns into a bidding war there. I don't think it comes up to a one, but I think they do move him. And I think they do take Kyler.
How much was Josh Rosen's stock damaged by his rookie year in Arizona?
I don't know. It's weird. Look, there are a lot of guys who were there in Arizona who obviously got let go at the end of the season. So it's not people in the building necessarily trash talking him, but there's just all these whispers that, he didn't get along with guys in the locker room. He wasn't a great locker room guy. He doesn't quite fit their culture down there and whatever it might be. And that might just all be BS. And you got to take it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because it could just be people trying to drive down his price. But whatever it was, the on-field performance really wasn't bad. I mean, they got Larry Fitzgerald. Christian Kirk is an interesting young player. Their offensive line is just an abomination down there. So I don't know what could have been expected out of him. And if it is Kyler Murray, I mean, poor Kyler is going to get pounded that rookie year.
One of the things I want to ask you this, we started our show today talking about this kind of week where you start seeing players get sabotaged in the media, where you see GMs saying the most outlandish off-the-wall things maybe that have been contrary to all the rhetoric coming out of their building. All this smoke and misinformation that's going, let me ask you, what's the wildest story that you think has come out that you think is absolutely untrue? Is there anything, given all the stuff you've read, and we've been reading it too, I mean, because there's a lot of stuff that's like, like the Raiders jumping up to take Kyler Murray at number one, or the Giants jumping up to do the same, or, is any of it worth listening to?
There's always some fire at the center of the smoke here. I'm trying to think with the craziest things. I don't think anything's been insane. I think some of the stuff that came out about Kyler after the combine was unfair. And at the very least, highly exaggerated. I know there are some people who have concerns about Kyler, and he's not quite the alpha personality that a Baker Mayfield is, but a lot of guys are like that. That's not really going to prevent him from being a star in the league. Some of the stuff that just comes out, and you look back at it over the years, and it's kind of ugly stuff. And look, at the MMQB, when we run stuff like that, we try to make it, if it's going to be a negative thing about a prospect, we had to have heard it overwhelmingly from many, many people, right, who we can sort of look at and say, well, they don't have a dog in this fight. They don't have a reason to be talking trash about this guy. But you hear a lot of weird stuff about the weirdest stuff. I actually can't say on air because we would never run with it. But
right.
there's
stuff you can't go with.
There's some wild stuff that comes through.
All right, one last thing. This has nothing to do with the draft. It's on the horizon. Why talk a little bit about and ask you why the NFL's franchise tag is on the way out, perhaps?
Oh.
Or is it a big negotiating point for the CBA?
I don't think it's on the way out. I don't think ownership ever gives it up. I think it's the silliest thing in the world. I think if you proposed it in 2019, if it hadn't existed before, you'd be laughed out of the room because the idea is just so ridiculous in a league that already has a hard salary cap. It's one thing if you're worried about Dallas offering $1 billion to your quarterback, you can't do it. You got a hard salary cap. So there's no need for it, but it's become such a little trick mechanism for ownership. I don't think it's ever going anywhere, as much as I hate that and as much as I hate the rookie salary cap, quite frankly.
It is a trick, and it's misused, don't you think, this franchise tag?
Oh, it was the John Elway rule. It was supposed to be the fail-safe for we're in a tough negotiation. Someone's going to try and poach our superstar player. And now it's thrown around to everyone. I think it was Wally Williams. Ozzie Newsome tagged the guard Wally Williams back in like 98 or something. And that sort of like opened the door to Pandora's box here. I guess that would be open Pandora's box that just has a regular lid on it. But that's how this whole thing started. And here we are.
Yeah.
Hey, Gary, thanks for this. What are you watching on TV tonight? More appropriately, what Peter King, what's he going to let you watch on TV tonight?
Oh, my God. I'll have to check in with Peter and let him select. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'd love to have dinner with you guys that night. It was a great – what was that, like 3 years ago? Rex was still coaching here, right? About 3 years ago you guys were here.
Three or four years ago. That sounds right. Tyrod had just won the starting job, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, okay.
Could be misremembering.
Cool. Gary, thanks for this. Keep up the good work. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. My pleasure.
Gary Gramling is senior editor of SportsIllustrated.com, features editor for MMQB.SI.com, and podcast contributor for MMQB, joining us on the line. It's kind of a fresh approach to the draft. We needed that
he was,
2 days before.
It was. He just had everybody trading in and out. He had he had trades going on in this 22nd pick of the first round and stuff. It was fun to read because he does have a great sense of humor, and it's fun because it, you know, sometimes we forget that, you know, nobody's votes on this stuff. It's just, it's just the way, it's just your fanship and which teams you love and which teams you don't and sure. what interests you. And to have people write about it in the tone that he does in this article is very, it was pretty funny. I enjoyed reading
it. Yeah, it was good. It's definitely worth reading. SI.com, Gary Gramling. Hey, we want to get back to our topic of the day. What's the best case scenario for the Bills on Thursday night? You can take it any way you want. Give us a call. We'll discuss 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can send it in via Twitter. We'll read some of the tweets. Best case scenario, what do you think of the gang of eight? The eight players that Steve and I have identified as one of them going to be a Buffalo Bills selection on Thursday night. Let us know about that. I want to remind you, coming up just about 3 weeks away, it is the annual Call to Courage Awards Breakfast. Frank Reich, Colts head coach, puts it on. The 18th annual Call to Courage Awards Breakfast coming up Saturday, May 18th, Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Buffalo. Great breakfast with a special award winner this year, Andy Dalton, the 2019 Call to Courage Award dinner. You are welcome to come. You can get tickets at this number, 559-1800. Frank Reich will be there. I'll be there. Steve will be there. The Call to Courage Awards breakfast, 3 weeks away, Saturday, May 18th. Steve and I back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Steve, I feel like we're busy today. We're halfway through the show. We've covered a lot of territory. I feel like we're busy. I don't know.
Yes,
don't know what I mean by that.
Our little gang of eight thing that we came up with, I think it was
that was fun.
And I think the guy who gets the name right should win a Bills polo shirt.
Come on. You got to do better than that. I'm thinking like a restaurant gift certificate or something. So here's what we did. Steve and I sat down and said, write down four guys that you're throwing darts. Four guys that you think the Bills, one of whom the Bills are going to wind up with their first pick, not necessarily first round. Steve had four. I had four. We made sure that the times when we had duplicates that somebody had to change out of it. And let me tell you who they are. Steve's four. He's throwing these four darts. He thinks the Bills are going to wind up with either offensive lineman Jonah Williams from Alabama, offensive tackle Andre Dillard from Washington. Is he Washington State?
Washington State.
Iowa tight end T.J. Hockenson, Michigan defensive end Rashawn Gary. My four, wide receiver D.K. Metcalf from Ole Miss, defensive tackle Ed Oliver from Houston, defensive end Montez Sweat, Mississippi State, or defensive tackle Christian Wilkins from Clemson. So that's the gang of eight. We may have missed some. You may see somebody we missed. You may like our pick. You may not. Let us know. We got phone lines wide open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet on that. Most likely Bill's first pick, according to me and Steve. Of those eight, we got to have the guy, right? Of those eight selections?
Well,
maybe not.
We don't got to.
Yeah,
that's the whole. We don't got to. That's the thing. So We're getting a lot of feedback because people are, everybody's got their own list and they've got their own priorities. One guy's threatening to jump off the wagon if they don't take Hawkinson. But from Big Bills Fan 1985, the Bills might want to try to trade a player and the ninth pick to draft Quinnen Williams to replace defensive tackle Kyle Williams. Well, it depends on what player you're talking about. it's going to take a really good player. And I don't know how many of those you want to get rid of for a guy that's going to replace Kyle Williams. I don't know. You got to have a trade partner to do it. And what player you're talking about, there's going to be a steep price to pay to get that high in this draft. You can't do it with just draft picks or you won't have any draft picks left from this draft.
And can I say, I get it. You can name a couple of candidates. I'd be reluctant to start dealing away, warm bodies to move up in the draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're trying to build a roster here. And I know you got guys, fans have guys, we have guys who you're thinking, well, that guy doesn't really factor into the future plans. But if you're going to move up, it's going to have to be somebody good. Now you're creating another vacancy you're going to have to fill. That'd be the only reluctance I would have to trade a player to try to move up.
All right. That's right. Here's the thing, too, and we said this at the beginning of the show, and this is always the problem with projecting trades. when it sounds so good for you, it's probably not good enough for the other team to take it. That's the simple fact of the matter. From Jack on the Twitter sheet, best case scenario, they are able to trade back into the teens and acquire an extra second rounder with their first. They can still get an impact defensive lineman, maybe a guy like Wilkins. And in round two, they can get a tight end like Font, Norfant, or Sternberger, or even a wide receiver like Hakeem Butler or N'Keal Harry. I can't wait. So there's a guy who's, you know, you're right. That, and you heard our caller, I mean, our guest just a minute ago, Gary Grambling. Once you get out of the top 10 of this draft, they're all kind of the same. There's a big drop-off, and you're going to be able to get the whatever value pick you can just about anywhere you look. So the trick is to have more of those guys, more picks. And if you can get more of them and still get a guy you like at the top, like in the teens, you got a chance then. Then it could be a pretty good draft.
Got a lot more draft talk coming up as the show moves along today, including Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, former offensive lineman in the league. He'll be joining us at 2 o'clock. Phone call here. Kevin in Hamburg has some thoughts. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the air. Hi.
I like Steve's pick from Hawkinson on offense. I like Murph's pick Wilkins from defense.
Okay.
Wilkins is the one that is a little bit of a reach at number 9. He's projected like in the mid-teens or after the 15th, second half of the first round. So take him at number 9. Might be a little bit of a stretch, but he does have what we're talking about as being one of those culture-fit personalities. Really sharp guy, very fast motor, and he's big enough. And he's been productive at the right level. So he's got a lot of things that make him attractive to a team like Buffalo, who values intelligence and motor over some other things. So, Wilkins is a guy that I don't think there's any question. He'd be a stretch at 9. But if you want to get your guy, get him.
Call here from Mark in North Tonawanda. Hello, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. John, I've been listening to your show all morning. I've been trying to call for 3-4 days. I'm all in on Hawkinson.
Right.
And I'll tell you the reason. One of my reasons is Gronk's been beating us up pretty good from New England for years, and I think it'd be nice to pay him back. I've heard he's a generational tight end, and we need to get Josh Allen some weapons, and I think he'd be the perfect fit. You know, he improved the running game, and I've been watching highlights on him. So I'm all in on him. And just wanted to get that to you guys. And I know you've been talking about him along today, but I'd love to see him in a Bills uniform.
Yeah, I don't think, Mark, there's no question that I think a lot of Bills fans have a little bit of Gronk scar tissue. You know, we've seen it for far too long, and we've seen how great a tight end can be. Gronk was a generational player. And now, saying Hawkinson is a generational player, I haven't heard that name, glowing appraise. Now, this guy's the best one out there. He's the best one in a while. I haven't heard the word generational used with him, but he is a 3-down NFL ready back to plug in, and you're going to let him on the field pretty quickly. I don't think there's no question that there's no tight end on this roster. Even Tyler Croft, who they signed from Cincinnati, I don't think there's any tight end on this roster that keep him off the field, even as a rookie in week one. He's pretty good. But generational, that may be a stretch, but I hear where you're coming from. What else, Mark?
Yeah, I just don't want to pass on the guy because we did pass on Mahomes. You know, we traded that pick away, like you said, and we...
Well, Hawkins is never going to be an MVP. I'll say that right now.
No, but we also passed on Wilson there from Seattle because he was too small. So you got to take your shot, and I'm really happy with Josh Allen. I'm all in on him too.
You're not going to bring up the fact we passed on Tom Brady?
I mean, everybody passes on everybody. Everybody.
I mean, I get it. If you think Hawkinson is all of that, and if the Bills agree with you, you can bet that they will take him if he's available. But the simple fact of the matter is he's playing tight end. He's not playing quarterback. So to say, you know, we passed on Mahomes, we passed on Russell Wilson, we passed on Tom Brady, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, can I say that, Mark? Thanks for calling, Mark, by the way. And I get it. I get people love – a lot of people like T.J. Hawkinson. I like him a lot, too. I think he'd be a fine draft pick. But you can't go into a draft trying to solve some historical grievance, like we've never had a good tight end. The Patriots have beat us up bad with their great tight end.
Yeah.
We passed on these other guys. We can't miss this guy. That's just not the approach. That's not the way to draft guys. It's not. You're not trying to resolve some decades-long grievance, whether it's no tight end or Gronkowski or we missed on other picks. That's really the wrong approach, I think, to take.
Yeah, right? You got to keep it focused on your team.
Yeah.
It's your team this year, 2019, and going forward. Even if there is a generational player out there, it doesn't make sense, not always. Sometimes it does, but not always. It doesn't always make sense to do and pull out all the stops to get that generational player. A generational guard is not the same as a generational quarterback. A generational tight end is not the same as a generational defensive tackle. Your team may be at a point in history where that generational player will not be as big of an impact player on your team as he would be on a different team. And name the scenario you want. No question, if he's a generational player and he's available at that spot, a tight end in this draft where the Bills are in history, I think you take him. No question about it. And we've said it. There's a ton of guys in this draft that are going to be available there that there are going to be no issues taken, whether it's one of the offensive tackles, defensive tackles, tight end, or wide receiver. There's some guys there that are going to be very easy to justify, and everybody's going to be very happy and see the reasoning behind it. Hockenson is one of those, and that's about as far as I'm willing to go.
Yeah, my point is don't try to solve decades-old grievances as far as who had the best tight end or how did we pass on. You cannot approach a draft like that. You try to win. You try to get good players so you can win.
Right.
Hey, this is interesting, Steve. Just came in. Adam Schefter put this out there. The Seattle Seahawks, we talked about yesterday with Frank Clark, defensive end, former first-round pick. Seahawks have agreed to trade their franchise player, Frank Clark, to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 2019 first-round pick, a 2020 second-round pick, and an exchange of third-round picks this year. Frank Clark goes to Kansas City. Third round. Yeah, that's it.
He still has to hammer out a deal with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But if he does, that deal goes through. And
that's a big move.
That's big. Now, there have been rumblings, and I even heard, you know, the Bills connected to it as well. Trying to get a guy like Frank. Yes. I mean, everybody was inquiring about what it was going to take to get him. And the Chiefs with a high the Chiefs are picking I can't remember what they're picking.
I looked it up, 27th.
All right, 27th this year. But their first rounder in 2020.
I bet, 29th. They're 29th.
Right, but they're not giving up this year's first. They're giving up next year's first. No, that's right. This year's first, 29th. Next year's second rounder. And then a swap of mid-rounders this year or next year. It doesn't say which. And, of course, the Chiefs have got to hammer out a deal with Clark to get it done. So it took a first rounder and a second rounder and a swap of mid round picks to get Clark out of Seattle. The 29th pick is what they gave up. You think the Bills could have made it happen for their number 9 pick overall?
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either. I don't know if I'd do it either. A number 9 overall and a second round next year.
And no way.
No, I don't think I'd do that.
Chiefs have a need. I'm, you know, obviously
they lost Houston. Yeah, they lost some guys.
They lost D. Ford, right? He traded away.
We lost Kyle Williams. I mean, I get it. Now, listen, he's a great player. Don't kid yourself. I mean, that's a good move, and he's a great player. But I don't know. Right at this point, I don't know how the. I don't know if the. Oh boy, I don't know if we could fit him under. He probably could fit him under the cap, but that would.
I don't know if close. He's worth it.
Yeah, that's
Chiefs had Chris Jones, Alex Okafor lining up to play defensive end. So you can see where they would feel a need there. And they got a good one. Frank Clark is a good one. But that's a steep price. First rounder this year, 29th in the first round, second rounder next year, and flipping third round picks.
And you look at the Seahawks, it's a pretty good deal for them, too. And this is what we're always talking about. You got to have a partner because they get the first rounder this year, an extra first rounder this year, the 2020 second rounder next year, and a swap of mid-rounders, and they don't have to go through the mud of getting this guy signed to a big long-term deal. He was franchised, so they were going to get a hit on their cap and a one-year deal. So they get out of a guy who's unhappy with his deal, can't get a deal done, and they get all these draft picks and get him off their books.
And they don't want to pay him that much.
They don't want to pay him that much.
Okay. All right, a break. When we come back, more on this. We want to know about your best-case scenario for the Bills on Thursday night, round one. And we want to know what you think of our gang of eight, the eight guys that we think the Bills will end up with one of them. We'll review all that and talk some more with you when we come back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
nicest way.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Still battling the wars we had at 10:30 this morning. Nothing important, folks. But it's not as happy as it looks on screen sometimes.
Give us a right. There's a palpable tension.
We just laugh about it. Best case scenario for the Bills Thursday night, round one Thursday night. What do you think? A call here. Brian in Buffalo. Hello, Brian. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. I would say that best case scenario, we end up with Hockenson. My only question about that is, you know, Josh Allen proved he thrives in an empty set. So, you know, last year, you know, we went to 11 personnel a little bit, but with signing Tyler Kroft, are we going to go to a 21 personnel, 22 personnel? I'm not really sure about that. My first round take on it, and then I have a second round take, so I'll let you count on the first round take, but I think there's three scenarios.
Okay.
I could see the Bills trading up to four with the Raiders and taking Nick Bosa.
And what do they got to give up to get to four?
Well, I think you obviously give up nine.
Yeah.
I think you give up two, and I think that's enough. 9-2 would be enough. But
if that's enough, I'd have to wrap my mind around that. Yeah, okay. All right, I'll listen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think if we stay at nine, Hockenson's there. We take nine. Hockenson at nine. Hockenson's not there. I see us trading back because I could see the Lions, the pick before, taking Hockenson. Say we trade back. Depending on where it is, where we trade back. I see Jonah Williams falling because of his height and arm length. He's not an ideal sized tackle. The Washington State tackle Steve mentioned, I'm not too familiar of, but that would be my first round predictions,
wow.
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, the Jonah Williams, it's his arm length is what he's been criticized for, but his height, he's 6'4 and a half. He's plenty tall enough. So he's tall enough, but his arms are, I don't know, it makes it sound like the guy is, you know, a gargoyle or something. His arms aren't long. But he's, you know, he's got, I guess he's got normal arms instead of NFL left tackle arms. But he does have a lot of other things. He's athletic enough. He moves. He's good in drive. He's good at pass blocking, run blocking. He's dominant at times. So he is a guy who is also a culture fit as well. So, yeah, all that stuff is on the table. I don't know about being able to trade up for Nick Bosa, and I don't know if you trade up for Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams either. Some people have Quinnen Williams as being a more productive pro for the position. Now, Quinnen Williams is not an edge rusher or a pass rusher like Bosa, but he's a run stuffer and pass rusher from the interior slot, and he's a bigger body. So, and a lot of people think Quinnen Williams is going to be a more dominant player at his position than Nick Bosa is going to be at his position. Be that as it may, they're different positions, so it's hard to compare. So I don't know if you're going to – if giving them your one and two to get the one guy is enough, because once you do, you don't pick until pick number 74 this draft. So you have nothing else to trade up for or up with. So you're done until the third round.
No fun until late Friday night.
That's right.
I'm looking for fun. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. I am kind of.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Mark in Buffalo. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Murph. Hey, Steve.
Hey. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, I don't know. I just look at it as theories as what kind of strategy they're going to employ. And knowing what they've done so far in free agency and being what we're being told the strength of this draft is, if you're in a position to draft an elite piece or talented guy, you got to remember, talented guys help you win the Super Bowl, and they're the most driving force typically, and they make people around you better. So to me, it's real simple. You either take a left tackle who's going to instantaneously make Josh Allen better, or you take an interior defensive lineman who is also going to instantly make Edmonds better. And then if you have an opportunity to move up in the draft, maybe into late in the first round, or if you have to sit tight at your second pick, look for that wide receiver. And if they do something like that, then that tells me that they're really happy and confident in their free agent class. But if they're still reaching for guys, then they're going to start trading down. And, you know, even though they might get a good player, I don't. The chances of them getting somebody late in the first round or early in the second that is truly an elite talent that makes people around them better are a little bit more slim than where they are right now. So,
Mark, you're thinking that if they trade backwards, you think it's kind of raising the white flag a little bit?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, if they really like these offensive linemen and they can add an elite offensive lineman to this group, maybe they're on the verge of making a dominant offensive line. Or another scenario, you know, if you go to the defensive line way, you know, you got a young middle linebacker who you put an elite player in front of him, you may be solidifying the middle of your defense for the next 10, 12 years.
You know, Mark, I got to say, I agree. I never phrased it the way you just did, and not finding fault, but I kind of agree with you. I want to see him use that ninth pick. I want to see a top 10 pick added to this fairly talented roster. I want to see it get a big injection of talent, which would be a top 10 pick at a variety of different positions. They have volume. They have 10 picks already, most of them in the back end of the draft. But they have volume. But I'd like to see an injection of real talent, real certified, bona fide, first-class, blue-ribbon talent, which you can get with a top 10 pick, as you said, on the offensive line, on the defensive line in particular. And I'd like to see them employ that. That would be my goal.
And we just had Gary Grambling from Sports Illustrated on, and he said this draft, after you get out of the top 12 or 13 players in this draft, there is a significant drop-off. So if you're going to do it, you got to be up there, and the Bills are at number 9. And from our numbers and our little draft game that we played today, there's going to be a handful of quality players available at number 9. So I'm kind of with you. To trade up and get one of the truly elite guys, the guys that are almost can't miss, but I don't want to pay that price because I think they're going to get a really solid, good player, maybe not elite, maybe not dominant, but they're going to get a difference maker at number 9. And I think you hang in there and take one of those guys because, you know, let's face it, this is a team that wants to take another step forward. And I don't have a problem whether it's an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle or a tight end or a wide receiver. I don't think so. I would think it's going to be maybe one of those things, defensive tackle, defensive end, offensive tackle, or wide receiver. That's 5 positions. There's going to be a player there at one of those 5 spots that's going to be really, really good. And he's going to be really good for more than a handful of years.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We got Brian Baldinger standing by to join us when we come back from the NFL Network. We'll take more of your phone calls and your thoughts on the best case scenario for the Bills in the first round of the draft. I got something for our listeners to think about. See, we talked about this morning before the show. James Palmer, NFL Network, tweeted this out today. This is a stump your friends. This is a good Twitter question. If Kyler Murray is selected in the first round, he will be the first athlete to ever be a first-round pick in both the Major League Baseball and the NFL drafts. 3 others came pretty close, though. Which 3? I'll give you a clue. They're all 3 NFL stars. Kyler Murray would be the first ever to be chosen in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft and the NFL draft, but 3 other NFL players came pretty close. Let us know if you have that answer. Shoot it in via Twitter or give us a call. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.